All right, Jabosai, good morning. We're going to begin. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Yehuda and Chani Neuberger in the schus of a refuah shlema for Zev Dov Aryeh Ben Sheinvel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, this chola together with Kol Chola Yisrael have her enduring and ongoing refuah. So today's daf is Yud Gimel 13. We are actually picking up by the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis 12b. Says the Mishnah, Matzah Shtari Chov. A person finds lost loan documents. So what's the halacha? In Mishponach Rais Nechasim, if the loan documents have a lien against property, in other words, if within the loan document there's a provision ultimately again to collect the loan from real property, lo yachzir. The halacha is you don't return the document. And that's the thing, you don't return the document to the malva or to the lova. Shebezdin mifra'in mehen, because Bezdin would collect from such a document. We'll discuss in the Gemara what exactly the Mishnah means. However, again, the document does not have a provision for collection from real property. So then what's the halacha? Ein bohem acharis nechasim, yachzir. Then you can go ahead and return the document. Why? Shein beizdin nifra'in mehen. Because beizdin would not be able to collect from such a document. Div Rabbi Meir. So these are words of Rabbi Meir. So we'll say Rabbi Meir simply says that halacha lamaisi, if you find a lost loan document, the ability to return it depends on the power of the document. If the document, again, has a provision for collection from real property, then you cannot return it. Which, again, you understand already where the Mishnah is going with this. Rabbi Meir Shita is, because remember, when a document contains a provision to collect from real property, that could adversely affect purchasers as well. Meaning any land that technically the borrower, sold after the time of the transaction would be encumbered. If, however, the loan document does not have any kind of lien against real property, Rabbi Meir allows for the return of the document itself.
If you don't return it, what do you do with it?
You hold it. You just hold it. The Chum, or give it to Bezin. Bezin holds it. The Chum say, Benkachu Benkach lo yachzir. The Chachamim say that no matter what, you do not return the loan document. Why? Because Bezin will be able to collect on the basis of these documents. So we'll say, obviously, the Mishnah leaves a lot of information unstated. So now we're going to leave the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Maya Skinon. So what exactly is the case here? If you want to say it's a case of where the loba, the borrower, admits that he owes money. If that's what you want to say, that it's a case of where the borrower admits that, yes, I borrowed this money and I have not yet repaid the loan. So we'll say, even if the loan document has a provision ultimately for a lien against property, if the borrower is admitting that he owes the money and that he has not yet repaid the debt as stated in the document, then why can't you return the document? And if we're talking about a case of where the loan of the borrower is not admitting that he owes the money, then even if the loan document doesn't have a provision for collection against real property, why would you return it? Because even though, again, the malva, the lender, can't collect from encumbered property, he can still collect from unencumbered property. In other words, what the Gemara is asking over here is, the Mishnah seems to hinge the ability to return the loan document based on whether or not the document itself has a provision for collection from real property. Whereas the Gemara really says the real nekuda that should determine whether or not you can return the document is what? Does the lova, is the borrower admitting that he owes the debt? If the borrower is admitting that he owes the debt and he has not yet repaid it, you should be able to return the document to the lender independent of whether or not the document has an encumbrance against your property or not, to which the Gemara said, the Olam Kishachai Moda. You're right, the case of the Mishnah is where the borrower admits that he owes the money. He admits that he owes the money. Kishachai Moda. Vahacha Hainu Taimu Dechashinon, Shemakasav Lelavos Benison, Velolava Atishrei, Vaasi Lemitraf Lekucho Shaloki Din. Also, we'll say, what's the concern over here? The concern in this case over here is the following. In this case, so again, remember, the document says, Reuben lent Shimon $10,000. And what happens? And there is an encumbrance against real property. So in the event that Shimon cannot go ahead and pay back the debt, so Reuben could go ahead and collect from property. Now remember, that means even property that Reuben sold, excuse me, property that Shimon sold after the date of the debt, could also be taken by the Malve, by Reuven, for repayment of the debt. What's the concern over here? The concern over here is that the document is dated in Nisan. It's possible that they drafted the document in Nisan, but the actual transaction didn't take place until when? Until Tishrei. Now, I will say, now we've learned already, we do not like to do shtaros like that. That's called a shtar muktam. We do not like to do it, although technically speaking, it works. Technically speaking, such a shtar like that is kosher. The problem that it poses for us is that technically the encumbrance does not really devolve upon the property until when? Until the date of the transaction. The problem over here is if you have a document that was dated in Nisan, but the transaction didn't actually take place until Tishrei, the encumbrance is not really in effect until Tishrei. But according to the document, it looks like that's in effect already as of Nisan. Therefore, if you go ahead and you return that document, you give the malva, the lender, the ability to technically collect property as of Nisan, whereas he doesn't really have the right to collect it as of Tishrei. To which the Gemara says, "Ihachi, if that's the case, kol shtari to aslo kamal nechosh lehachi." If that's the case, I don't understand. Why do you only apply? Why are you only worried about that in this case? You should be worried about that when? In every case. Then Lamaisa, why don't you say every single time the shtar comes before us, even when the shtar is dated in Nisan, how do you really know that the shtar, that the transaction took place in Nisan? Maybe it was dated for Nisan, but the transaction didn't take place until Tishrei. To which the Gemara says, kol shtari lo rei, honey rei. This is actually a very interesting answer. The Gemara says, you know what, in general, so you don't assume something is wrong until something's wrong. In other words, that when a regular shtar comes before us, there's no reason for us to doubt what's stated. In this case over here, because we're dealing with a shtar that was lost, so that forces us to contemplate all different possibilities. So under normal circumstances, we don't have to contemplate all possibilities. Here, because we're dealing with a lost shtar, we have to contemplate all possibilities. But that which we learn, so what's actually a very interesting halacha, we write a shtar for a borrower, even though the lender is not with him. How can you do this? Right? How can you go out of Bosa? Now the Gemara is assuming over there what we're talking about is, I come to Bez and I say, listen, Reuven's about to lend me $10,000. Do me a favor, draft the shtar. So the Gemara says, okay, we draft the shtar for a lova, for a borrower, even though the malva is not with him. So the Gemara says, how can you do that? Nechosh makasav lalavos benisav lalava tishrei. If the malva is not there, why are we not concerned that if we write the shtar now in Nisan, that the loan is not actually going to take place until Tishrei? In other words, you should not go ahead and write any documents. People say, the reason why we're not so concerned about writing a document for a lova without the presence of the malva, see, we would never do the reverse. Right, you would never write a document for a malva without the lova present, because then already we're setting someone up potentially for a disastrous situation. I'm not worried if the lova is coming along and saying, listen, I'm about to borrow money, he's writing a note of indebtedness upon himself. So that, the Gemara says, we're willing to write for him even without the presence of the malva. It says the Gemara, there's still another problem. The problem is, how do you know the loan's going to take place now? Maybe the loan's not going to take place for another couple of months, and you create an assumed encumbrance from the date of the debt, even though the real encumbrance doesn't take place till later. Vasila mitrav l'kucho shelo kidin. And I will say, in the event that the borrower defaults on the loan, the lender could then collect the debt from what date? From the date written in the shtar, in which case, again, which really is before the actual encumbrance of the debt. Rav Asi says, Rav Asi, top of your gimel, shtari hakno. Oh, what are we talking about, Rav Asi? A separate independent shtar, not the loan document, but rather, again, this is what we'll call, for lack of a better term, an encumbrance document. Rashi says, "Bishtari hakna shemakna lo nechasev mehayom ben yilva ben lo yilva yikba mehen lo osas manayim." It says, actually, interesting halacha that the lova goes ahead and writes an encumbrance document. An encumbrance document essentially says the following: I hereby encumber my property to the lender from this date, even if what? Even if the loan doesn't take place until a later date. Now, any borrower has that, meaning you can encumber your property at any point in time you want. This, by the way, this actually happens more often than you think, not in the realm of loan documents, but this happens often at weddings. How so? So, you know, Minag Yerushalayim is, they sign the ksuba underneath the chuppah in order to avoid any discrepancies of dates between when the chuppah occurs. But very often what happens is, as much as you try to time it, that the ksuva should be signed the same calendrical date as the chuppah. Sometimes it happens. It's been rumored to occur that weddings don't run on time. And sometimes you get to the chuppah and it's a different halachic date. So many poskim say that's a problem of a shtar muktam. Essentially, again, the ksuva is dated for the 7th of Tishrei, but the weddings don't actually take place until the 8th of Tishrei. So at the end of the day, it's not really a problem. Why? Because a chassid is permitted to say, I am hereby mishabed my property to my wife-to-be from whatever date he wants. If he wants to create that shibud a week before his wedding, he can do that as well. Again, ideally, we try to avoid it, but Lamai says the Gemara is describing over here. What are we talking about? We're talking about shtar hakna. We're talking about a document where the loveh, the borrower, says, I am hereby mishabed my property, I hereby encumber my property to the malveh. And he could go ahead, and whether the loan takes place today, or whether the loan takes place in 3 months from now, I am hereby committing myself to create the shibud, to create the lien on my property as of today. If that's the case, so we'll say if that's the case, then how do we understand the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Meir, that if the document has a lien against property and you find a lost loan document, you can't return it. Vokimna, now we've set it up, kishachayiv moda. We've now set it up, Rabbi says, a case of where the lover, the borrower, admits that he owes the lender money. And we said in the Mishnah that the reason you can't go ahead and return the lost loan document is why? Because we're concerned that the malveh may come to go ahead and collect encumbered properties as on a date or based on a date earlier than the date of the actual loan transaction. But if that's the case, amai lo yachzir, nachz nachzi, ibishtar hakna, hashabid le nafshei. So listen to this. Okay, says the Gemara, let's analyze this. If we're talking about a shtar hakna, we'll say, so a shtar hakna essentially is an encumbrance document. So if we're talking about an encumbrance document, we just said before that lamaisa, the borrower has the right to encumber his property whenever he wants. So who cares when the loan took place? We just look at the date of the encumbrance document. If it's not an encumbrance document, but rather it's a real loan document, there also shouldn't be a problem. Why? Lekal mechash, there's no concern that the malva will come to collect property from the lekuchos, from the purchasers, at a date earlier than the transaction. Why? The amrit, ki leka malva bahadeh lo kasinan. Because Rabbi said, we don't write loan documents without the presence of the malva, without the presence of the lender. In other words, we'll write the shtar hakna, we'll write an encumbrance document without the presence of the lender, but we will not write an actual loan document without the presence of the lender. Which means that what? If it's a real loan document, who was present? Who was present? The lender, which means that the actual loan took place on that date, in which case the date written in the shtar is the actual date of the encumbrance. To which the Gemara says, Rav Asi, afagav dishtari delav hakna kilek amal v'badei lo kasinan. So Rav Asi says, you're right, even though under normal circumstances, regular loan documents we will not write without the presence of the lender. Masnisin kevan denafal israeli. We'll say, our Mishnah is dealing with the case of a lost shtar, and therefore because of that, again, the situation has been compromised. V'chayshinan dilma ikri v'kasov. And we are choshesh that perhaps this case is an aberration, and maybe in this situation they did write the loan document without the presence of the malva. As well say, what is the Gemara saying? And this is an incredible idea. What the Gemara is essentially saying is, under normal circumstances, we operate with a certain set of assumptions. What are the certain set of assumptions? That lamaisa, again, no one writes a loan document without the presence of who? The lender, and of course the borrower, goes that thing, the borrower. And that the date written in the loan document is the date on which the encumbrance occurs. We also assume that what? Under normal circumstances, shtari hakna, a lender could go ahead and, a borrower could write a document of encumbrance as of an earlier date in the transaction. The issue over here is, once you find a lost document, it forces us to contemplate a whole other series of possible realities. In other words, once the mazel, going back a little bit to yesterday, right? Even though we paskin in mazel Yisrael, there is mazel for shtaros. So once the mazel of the shtar has been compromised and the shtar has been lost, essentially it forces us to contemplate all different types of possibilities. Abaye says no. Eidav b'chosam av zakinlo. So Abaye says that once Eidim sign on the shtar, so Eidav b'chosam av zakinlo, v'afilu shtarei delav hakno. So we'll say, listen to this. Look at Rashi just a moment. Abaye Omar, it's the first short line on the top of Rashi. Hadisnan kosvin shtar lelove. below malva, that which we said before that you could write a shtar for the borrower even without the presence of the malva, afilu b'shtar delav haknonam. So we'll say Abaye holds that lamaisa you could even write a loan document for the borrower without the presence of the lender. And the witnesses would go ahead and sign on that shtar, and they would go ahead and create an effective shtar as of the date in that shtar. So the Gemara says, afilu shtar shlov delav hakno. Now that we said, since a document, Rabbi said this lashon of a shtari delav haknoa means a document that's not a document of encumbrance, which is referring to what? A loan document, a regular loan document. That we don't write such a document without the presence of the malva. Leka lemechesh de ekri v'kasuv. There is no concern that perhaps this loan document was written without the presence of the malva. Elaha disnan, I, that which we learned. Matza gite noshem v'shechru avodem daitiki matana v'shovrim. So we'll say, what about the Braisa? The Mishnah says the following. When you find these documents, a get, a woman's get, a document of emancipation, daitiki, right? We'll say daitiki, Rashi says, is it tzava shchiv mira, is a deathbed conference, a deathbed document that confers property of a shchiv mira, or a document of a matana, shovrim are receipts, hare ze lo yachzir. We'll say in all of these cases, one should not return the documents to these individuals. Why? So the Gemara says, hare ze lo yachzir, shema ksuvim hayu, v'nimlach aleim shalom nitnam. Listen to this. Abai says, the Mishnah says, you can't return lost documents. Why? There's a bigger concern. The bigger concern is, maybe someone had in mind to execute these transactions, but then what? Changed their mind. Decided not to do it. But one second, even if they changed their mind, who cares? Abai just said before, what Rabbi said? Abai just said, then when witnesses sign on a shtar, that creates a shtar effectiveness. To which the Gemara says, yes, that is true. Both say the signatures of the witnesses create a valid transaction, assuming what? Assuming the document is delivered to the intended party. But again, if the document was never delivered to the intended party, in other words, if you have a case where the lova, the borrower showed up in Beis Din, and he said to Beis Din, draft for me a document that I'm going to borrow $10,000 from Shimon. And what happens? I'm going to borrow $10,000 from Reuven. And then what happens? The Edim sign on it. It's an effective document, assuming what? That it's delivered to the Malva. But if it's not delivered to the Malva, then it's not an effective document. I was supposed to say, so by the way, this is a pretty wild sheet of Abaye, that Abaye actually has witnesses signing on documents even without all of the necessary parties present. Pretty dramatic shita. So the Gemara says, Elamas Nisan Diktoni Matza Shtarichov. So let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that said that if you find loan documents, Im Yesh Banach Rais Nechasim Lo Yachzir. So remember, the Mishnah said, if the document has an encumbrance against property in it, you should not go ahead and return the documents. Now let's analyze this. Va'okimna Kishachayiv Moda. We've set up the case of Bosa as a case of where the lova, the borrower, admits that he owes the money, the transaction occurred. Umishum Shemakasov Lalavos Benisan Velo Lava Atishrei. So we'll say we're concerned that what? What we're concerned about in the Mishnah is, since there's an encumbrance against property, the document states that the loan took place when? In Nisan. But it's possible that what? That the actual loan itself, the transfer of funds, didn't take place until when? Until Tishrei. Now what's our concern? Our concern is, then the document essentially creates a false encumbrance as of Nisan, when in fact the encumbrance should not really take place until the transfer of funds, which occurred in Tishrei. To which the Gemara said, Bishlam of Ravasi. So Bosai, according to Ravasi, this makes sense. Domer Bishtari Aknaisa. Mukile Bishtari Delav Aknaisa. So according to Ravasi, Bosai holds that this would work out fine for a document of encumbrance. Because for an encumbrance document, the date in the document is the date in which the encumbrance is executed. So Rav Asi would set up our Mishnah as talking about a loan document. Shtar delav aknaisa ukidam rina. And Rav said, that's why according to Rav Asi it makes sense. The Mishnah is talking about a regular loan document, and the Mishnah is teaching me that in the case of a regular loan document that is lost and you find it, you cannot return it. If it has an encumbrance against property, why? Out of a concern that even though the date in the document reads when? Nisan. We're concerned that in fact the loan didn't take place until Tishrei. Therefore, there is a false encumbrance that's been created. You cannot return that document to either of the parties because it may entitle the lender to go ahead and collect property already as of Nisan, when in fact, what? He doesn't have the right to collect until Tishrei. Therefore, even if the Lova admits that he owes the money, you still can't return the document. El Abaye. But according to Abaye, who says, the Amar Eidav Bechasum and Zakin Lo, Ma'ikil Anemar. According to Abaye, who says, that once there are this witnesses' signatures on that document, even a loan document, then what? We believe that document as is stated. So if it says, if it's dated in Nisan, then guess what? The encumbrance is Nisan. And we don't start clearing, we don't start making drishas and chakiras. Maybe it was Nisan, but the money wasn't lent until Tishrei. Say if you have witnesses, so assuming you could validate the witnesses, the signatures witnesses, and what? And the lover, the borrower, admits that the transaction actually occurred, then what should be the halacha? You should return the document ultimately to the lender and let him go and collect his debt. To which the Gemara says, Amalach Abaye, Abaye will say, Mas Nisan Hayinu Taima. Oh, so Abaye will say, I'll tell you what the problem in the Mishnah is. Dechayish lepiraon ulekinunyo. So what Abaye is concerned about is the following. Abaye is concerned, maybe what happened was the following. Yes, Reuven lent Shimon $10,000. And what happened? Shimon went ahead, Shimon, and paid back the debt. So let's remember again, who gets the document once the debt has been repaid? Who gets the document? The borrower, right? The lova gets the debt. Maybe again, maybe he lost the document. And what happens? Now we're concerned that there's collusion between the lender and the borrower. We'll say, what's the collusion? The collusion is if they both agree on the same storyline, which is, let them both agree, the loan has not yet been paid. The borrower is going to claim that he has no money. What will that allow the lender to do? They will allow the lender now to go after the lekuchos, the purchase or the sold property after the date of the debt, and they could defraud the purchasers. So the Gemara says, "Asa Abaye's choshish for Abaye's choshish." When you find the lost document, you can't return it to anyone, even though again the lova says, "I admit that I owe the money because we're choshish for collusion." They both said, "They have to understand something." This goes back to what we said before, which is, under normal circumstances, when people come to Beis Din with the shtar, we don't have to worry about all these possibilities. The issue we're concerned about over here is once a shtar has been lost and you're finding this shtar in the marketplace, so already again what this does is it raises so many red flags. We don't know what to do with this that we have to be choshesh for all the different possibilities. Therefore, Abaye says we're choshesh for collusion. But according to Shmuel, who says that you're not choshesh for this type of collusion, so what is there to say? How do you understand the Mishnah? So we'll say, if you go like Ravasi, so the Mishnah is an easy read. Because then you can set up the Mishnah as dealing with the case of a loan document. And according to Ravasi, in a case of a regular loan document, we are concerned that what? Even though it's dated Nisan, maybe the loan didn't take place until Tishrei. And therefore, again, the encumbrance isn't really until Tishrei. If you return this document, you give the Malva the right to collect as of Nisan, when in fact he doesn't have that right until Tishrei. The Gemara says, "Ella Yisavar Kabaye Tamar Eidav Bechasum and Zogelo Ma'ikel Meimar." But if you hold that Kabaye, essentially, he says, Rabbeinu said that if there are valid witnesses signed on that shtar, then guess what? That shtar is good to go, and you should be able to collect with it, especially in a case where what? Where the lova is moda. So why can't you return the shtar? To which the Gemara says, "Ma'ikel Meimar Shmuel Mukil Masnisin." Kishain Chayiv Moda. Oh, I want to say, comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel has a different version of the Mishnah. See, Shmuel says, all of you guys think that the Mishnah is talking about a case of where the Lova admits that he owes the money? Nope. This is talking about a case where Rav Bosai, the Lova is saying, it was my document. It was my document. I went ahead and lost it. The debt was already repaid. I don't owe any money. To which the Gemara says, "Ihachi ki ein ben achrayis nechasim amayachzir." If that's the case, Rabbi said, then why does Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah say that if the debt doesn't have a lien against property, you can return it? After all, mihidalo gabi min mishabadi mibnechari magvi. Even though, again, that document does not give the lender the ability to collect from encumbered property, it will still give him the ability to collect from unencumbered property. To which the Gemara says, "Shmuel tamei damer Shmuel Omer Hayi Rabbi Meir shtar chov shein bo achrayis nechasim ein gove lo mimishbadi v'lo mimnechari." Oh, Rabbi said, listen to this, because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi said, we'll see this on Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir holds that any document that does not contain a lien against real property is not a valid shtar. According to Rabbi Meir, and we'll see this Rashi will say this on Amud Beis, Rabbi Meir holds, again, a loan document is only effective if it has a lien against real property. If it doesn't have a lien against real property, then lemaisa, again, it's like a milva alpa, it's like an oral transaction. So the Gemara says, v'chimi achar shena gova amayach. So what you're telling me is, therefore, if a loan document does not have a lien against real property, then it's not really a loan document. If that's the case, then why would you return it to the malva? What good is that document? Amar Abnasan bar Oshia, latzur apit sluchis shal malva. No, it serves a purpose. What's the purpose it serves? It's a bottle stopper. You could go ahead and you could use the document, you could use the parchment to go ahead and put around your bottle. So in other words, it has a purpose. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, then why don't you give it back to the lender, to the borrower, let him use it as a bottle stopper. To which the Gemara says, no. Lova hu da'amar, it's the lova who says, amadeis, da'amar lo hayu dvar ne'olam. And we'll say, you're not going to give it back to the lova. Why? Because the lova is the one who is claiming what? This transaction never occurred. So why in a million years, say if the lova is claiming that the transaction never occurred, then why in a million years would you ever give it back to the lova? In fact, what we'll do is we'll give it back to the malva. Even though, again, it's not effective as the shtar, it does make for a nice housewarming gift, right? You can go ahead and you can use it as a bottle stopper and it has some function. Amar Rabbi Elazar, machlokes b'shein chayev moda. So let's listen to this. Now Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, the machlokes in the Mishnah is only in a case of where the lova b'shein chayev lova, b'shein chayev moda, where the lova does not admit that he owes the loan. Rabbi Meir holds shtar shein b'achrayes nochasim enagove lo mishvad lo mnechori. Because both Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a shtar that does not have achrayis, right, a shtar that is not backed up with a lien against real property, so is essentially unusable to collect from anything. As Rabbi says, Rabbi Meir shita, you cannot. If a shtar doesn't have a lien against real property, it's an ineffective shtar. Look at the Taf Rashi. Im go v'lo min chas mishuad lo min chas minichorin. Im ein halove mode the shtara to lo shibeit banachasim lav shtarahu. Suppose that this is a dramatic sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that any loan document that does not have a lien against real property is not a real loan document. And essentially, again, it's like a milva pass, like an oral transaction. So the Gemara says, no, if you have a loan document that doesn't have a lien against real property, it's true, you can collect from encumbered property, but you're permitted to collect from unencumbered property. Listen to this. But when the lova admits that he owes the money, when the lova admits that the document is an authentic one, then divrei hakol yachzir. Then everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that you give back the loan document to the malva, to the lender. And again, we're not choshesh for any kind of collusion. So we'll say, this is the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Shita of Rabbi Elazar. So again, Rabbi Elazar is going to say the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is in a case where the malva, the lova does not admit liability. The lova does not admit that he owes the money. So what do we do in such a case? So Rabbi Meir says, it depends. If the document does not have achrayis, then ultimately, again, there is no ability to collect at all. Because a document that does not have a lien against property, according to Rabbi Meir, is not a valid document. According to the Chachamim Rabosai, the document could still be a valid document, but only to collect from what? Only to collect from unencumbered property, not to collect from encumbered property. On the other hand, the Chachamim say that such a document will be valid to collect from unencumbered property, or not from encumbered property. But if the lova agrees, if the lova admits liability, then what? Everyone agrees you can return the document, and what? The malva could collect. Why? Because according to Belazar Abosai, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir agree that we do not suspect collusion. So again, if I find the lost document, the easiest case is the lova admits, I owe the money, shkoyach. We will return the document ultimately to the malva, and we are not choshesh, we are not concerned for any type of collusion between the malva and the lova. That's Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Machlokes kishechayiv moda. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan says no. The machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is in a case of where the even where the malva admits liability. I'm sorry. The lova admits liability. The borrower admits that he owes the money. Rabbi Meir, says, "Shtarshin b'achrayis nechasim v'mishibadihu d'lo gavi aval mivnei chari mikva." Because it was Rabbi Meir holds that in a shtar that does not have a lien against real property, you cannot collect. You cannot collect from real property, right? But you can collect, or I should say, you can collect from encumbered property, but you can collect from unencumbered property. But Rabbanan say, "Mimishibadi nami gavi." You could even collect from encumbered property. Aval kishein chayev mode. But Rabbanan say, if the borrower does not admit that he owes the money, then what? Divrei hakol lo yachzir. We'll say, in a case where the borrower does not admit that he owes the money, then what? You cannot, everyone agrees that you cannot give back the document. Why? Because Rabbi said, we are choshesh that what? That the debt has already been repaid. So Rabbi says, so again, fundamental machlokis in Rabbi Lazar, bless you, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan, as to how to interpret the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. So Rabbi says, now says the Gemara, the fine. Tanya kavasit Rabbi Yochanan, v'tiyufta de Rabbi Elazar b'chada, v'tiyufta de Shmuel b'tarti. So Rabbi says, there is a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan's version, and this brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan refutes Rabbi Elazar on one account, and is refutes Shmuel on two accounts. So let's go through the brisa. What's the brisa? Matesh darichov. Say if a person, I go ahead and find a loan document, the yesh panach rayis nechasim, and the loan document has a lien against real property. Afa pi sheshneim modim lo yachzir lo lazeh ve lo lazeh. But say, listen to this. Even though both the malva and the lova agree that the loan is still outstanding, you may not go ahead and return the loan document neither to the malva nor to the lova. However, again, so again, the logic by that seems to be because we're choshish for kenunya, we're choshish for some type of collusion, and we're nervous that the malva and lova together are going to defraud the purchasers of the property. So it says the gemara lovas. I'm sorry, ein barachayis nechasim. But if at the end of the day, again, the document has no lien against your property, bizman shalove moda. If the borrower admits that he owes the money, yachzir l'malva. So we'll say, remember, if the document does not have a lien against real property, then there's only one person who is put at a disadvantage by the document. And that's who? That's who? The borrower. Right? And therefore, again, and there, it's 50-50, right? And therefore, as we'll say, let me explain that. Because remember, again, if the document has no lien against real property, and the loveh admits, again, remember, I should have said this part, the borrower admits that he owes, and the borrower admits that he owes the money, there's no downside to going ahead and returning the document to the lender. Why? Because the only person the lender has the ability to collect from is who? Borrower, good, right? Is the borrower, right? Why Rabbi said, because remember, there's no lien against any other property. So essentially, the Gemara saying over here is like this. So again, if the document has no lien against real property, and the loba, the borrower, admits that he owes the money, says the Gemara, give the document back to the lender. Because the lender's ability to collect is limited to the borrower. There's no lien against real property. The borrower is admitting that he owes the money. Give him back the document. To which the Gemara says, "Halove mode, yachzir l'malva." Ein halove mode, but if the borrower does not admit that he owes the money, lo lazeh v'lo lazeh, then you can't give the document back to the borrower, nor can you give the document back to the lender. Divrei Meir. These words are Rabbi Meir. Shahay Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, "Shtar shor shtar." Actually, changes over here to "shtarichov." Shtarichov sheish benachrayis nechasim, because any type of loan document that has a lien against real property, govem and nechasim mishubadim. You could collect from encumbered property. The she'ein b'machrayis nechasim, and if there is no lien against real property, govem and nechasim b'nechorin. You could collect from unencumbered property. Therefore, I will say, Shitas Rabbi Meir is that if the document has a lien against real property, you cannot go ahead and give it back to anyone. I will say that's even though the malva and the lova both admit that the loan is still outstanding, you still can't go ahead and give it back. Why? Because apparently we're choshesh that they could defraud the purchasers. But if the document has no lien against real property, therefore the reach of the malva only extends over the lova, and the lova admits that he owes the money, there's no downside in giving back the document to the malva. But if the lova does not admit that he owes the money, he does not agree that he owes the money, then what? You can't give back the document to either one of them. Chum say, Echadzeh ve'echadzeh, The Chachamim say, essentially what we will see is, the Chachamim will say that pretty much every loan document, by definition, comes with a lien against real property. To Yufta Rabbi Elazar Bechada, so we'll say, ultimately again, this refutes Rabbi Elazar on one count, Ga'amar, because Rabbi Elazar says, Le Rabbi Meir, that according to Rabbi Meir, Shtar She'im Bo Achrayis Nechasim, according to Rabbi Elazar said that Shitas Rabbi Meir is that when you have a document that does not have a lien against real property, then what? You can't collect from real property, nor can you collect from unencumbered property. And yet it just said before in the Braisa, Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbanon, Lo Chai Shinon LeKinunya. That ultimately, again, both according to Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon, we are not choshesh for collusion. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi say, in a case of where the document does not have an achrayas nechasim, does not have a lien against real property, and the malva agrees that what? The lova agrees, or the lova admits that he borrowed the money, that you can go ahead and return the loan document. Ubraisa katani, and yet the Braisa said, Shtar she'in bo achrayas nechasim, that Rabbi say, if you have a document that does not have a lien against real property, you can collect from real property, but you can go ahead and collect from unencumbered property. And we said, that both country Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon, we are choshesh for collusion. Because also we said that even though both agree, we will not go ahead and return the document to either one. Alma chayshina lekinunya. Therefore, we see that what? We are choshesh ultimately again for collusion between the parties. So we see that this is a refutation ultimately again, according to Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that lamaisa again, we are not choshesh for kinunya for collusion, yet we see from here we are choshesh for collusion. So we'll say just a few more lines. I, bahatani tarti, Rabbi Elazar, here's the issue. You said before that this is one refutation according to Rabbi Elazar, but in fact, again, it's actually two refutations of Shitas Rabbi Elazar. How so? Because Rabbi Elazar, we just refuted him on two levels. Number one, that we just said that you can't go ahead and collect a mishtar that doesn't have achrayas nechasim, right? Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that you can't, according to Rabbi Meir, you can't collect a mishtar that does not have an encumbrance against real property. And yet here you see that even according to Rabbi Meir, you can collect a mishtar that does not have achrayas nechasim. And number two, Rabbi Elazar, you wanted to say that we are choshesh for kinunya, for collusion. And yet here we see that you're not choshesh for collusion. To which the Gemara says, top of Yudalud. So chada hu dechad tamhu. So we'll say in reality, yes, it's two refutations, but both the refutations stem from the same reason. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Umishani chad hu dechad tamhu. To which the Gemara says, Ta'am echad his kiko the Rabbi Elazar lomer et shtehem. We'll say there's one reason that motivated Rabbi Elazar to say both of his shitos. The mishum dekar machlokes the masnisin b'shein chayiv moda huskok lomar shein gova afilu mebnei chori. The chayvon the hutzrach l'sach is actually the seal in the Gemara. The mishum the Gemara says chaduhu techad tamhu. The mishum dekar Rabbi Elazar machlokes b'shein chayiv moda. So we'll say since Rabbi Elazar was forced to set up the Mishnah as dealing with a case of where what the lova is not moda, the lova does not admit the debt. Therefore, again, so I'm sorry. So, Kevan, come on, Rabbi Elazar, Machol Gizbushin Chai Modehu, who met Tari Tachi. So, both say, so essentially, the Gemara says like this. Because Rabbi Elazar has to set up the Mishnah as dealing with a case of where the Lova does not admit to the debt, that by definition formulates his positions in the other two areas as well. So even though we said before that Rabbi Elazar is only refuted on one level, really the manifestation of the refutation is in two different areas, namely in the case of ultimately, again, even a shtar that doesn't have achrayas, ultimately, again, is still going to be usable for collection. And number two, that we are not choshesh for kinunya, but both of those positions stem from the way Rabbi Elazar goes in and sets up the Mishnah, namely as setting it up as a case of where ain chayiv moda, where ultimately, again, the lova is not moda. So because, again, both of those positions stem from the way he sets up the Mishnah, we call it one refutation with, in fact, two manifestations. So we'll stop over here for today. We're in the middle of the sugya. I just want to tell you the Shulchan Aruch on this because I know this is a lot of back and forth. I want you to leave with a little bit of solid information here. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is in Choshen Mishpat Simen Samchei Halacha Vav. Hamotzi Shtarchov, person finds a loan document, afapi sheyeshbo ne'emanos, vaafilu hutoch zmano, vaafilu ein bo achrayis, velo vet mode. So we'll say, if I find the Shtarchov, even though what? Right, I believe the parties involved, and it's within the duration of the actual loan document, and there is no achrayis nechasim. Now, both say, now the chap of no achrayis nechasim means what? That the potential fallout of this loan document is limited to who? Limited to the malva and the lova, right? Because remember, again, if there's no encumbrance on real property, that means that purchasers of properties post the date of the document. There's no take back possibility. So listen to this: velova moda, and the borrower admits that he owes the money. What's the halacha? Lo yachzir. We do not return lost loan documents. Now, what that just does is we go ahead and we just go into a holding pattern. Why? The chayshinon lepiron ulekinunya. Because I will say what we are choshesh for ultimately again is collusion. We're choshesh for collusion. Va'afilu amar halove ohamalva nekev yeshbo betzad osploni. And I will say even if the malva or the lova are able to identify the shtar, right? There's a hole in the dalit on the top of the dalit on the fourth line. So meaning they're able to identify in a way where it's clearly their shtar. Nevertheless, lo yachzir lo lazeh velo lazeh. The Nabosai, again, you cannot return to the Nabosai. Now, you'll say to yourself, that sounds a bit wild and a bit extreme, right? Thank you. Right? So good. So listen to this. There's one additional line. Listen to this. V'mefurash b'shtar behedya she'eno chayev ba'achrayis. So the motivation for this halacha, just so you understand, is because, in general, every single loan document, even if it's not written in it, has a lien against real property. Sebo said, this is an interesting thing. When you lend someone money, there is an automatic lien against their property, against the borrower's property. So in essence, Sebo said, every single document, even if it doesn't have a stated achrayis nechazim, has an achrayis nechasim. See, even for example, if the lova says, you know what, I have outstanding monies, I admit I owe the money, I'm going to repay it from my own monies, we don't have to go after any of the purchasers, we don't believe them, and we're choshish for collusion, and we're choshish they're going to find a way to defraud the purchasers. But watch this. V'mefurash b'shtar behedyo she'eno chayev ba'achrayis. We'll say, if there is a line in the shtar that says, Malva and Lova agree that there is no encumbrance against properties, that this debt is only to be paid from unencumbered properties, and that is written explicitly in the shtar, if that's the case, im chayiv moda yachzir. In that case, then if the borrower admits the debt, you can return the document to the Malva. So we'll say, an incredible halacha. Essentially, what the Shulchan Aruch essentially is saying is, anytime there's a possibility that you could defraud purchasers of property, then we are not returning that document. So this halacha teaches us a few things. I will say, that's a little bit anticlimactic because I'm giving you the Shulchan Aruch before the end of the sugya, but I saw a lot of puzzled looks today. So I'm giving you, I want you to leave with some solid information. Second of all, so essentially what the halacha says is like this. Number one, every single loan document, even if it's not stated, has an encumbrance against real property. That is halacha l'maisa. So every single time, so this is important to know, because every single time you borrow money, it's important to know that encumbrance is not just against your bank account, that encumbrance is against your property, your real property. And any properties you sell off after the date of the debt are encumbered ultimately again by the debt. That's how, therefore again, if I lose my loan document, the halacha is we do not return the document even if the lender admits I owe the money. Why? Because I will say, essentially, we will not return a loan document when others are put in financial peril. And because there are potential other purchases, lekuchos, that are put in financial peril, we will not return the document because we are choshish for collusion. The only exception to the rule is you, meaning you, when I say you, the lender has the ability to waive his lien. But in order for him to waive his lien, what has to happen, Abosai? That waive, is that the right word? That waive? That waiver, thank you. Right, that waiver must be explicitly stated in the document. It literally has to be written in the document that lender waives his rights to all encumbrances. Oh, in that case, I will say where there are no encumbrances, and therefore, again, the fallout of the shtar or the repercussions are limited to the lova. If the lova admits that he owes the money, then what? Then we'll return the document ultimately to the malva. Of course, if the lova does not admit that he owns the money, again, we will not return that document. I will say, Mirzim will continue with the sugya tomorrow. Shkoyach. Let's say we just need a little bit of help. You want to tell everybody what we need? What do we need to do?
Thank God we have a lot of things going on. And we